Hey, everybody. This is the Between the Ropes podcast. Brian Fritz, along with Michael Wiseman, back and better than ever. Oh, yes.
Hello.
I like to go olo. Oh, hello. Yes, that's the Megamind way to say hello.
That's true. We were referencing the Seinfeld one before we went on the air.
That was my belly button
saying hello.
I've been watching that show from beginning. Have I told you this? Hulu?
Like these millennials that go, hey, there's this great show on the Netflix I've been watching. It's called Friends.
There's this new show by this hot comedian, Jerry Seinfeld. He's an up-and-comer. He's touring some clubs up in New York, and he's got this great show on Hulu. It's great.
Well, you know that Jerry Seinfeld's Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee just reached a huge deal to move from Crackle over to Netflix.
Mm-hmm, I heard that. And you know, I like that show. I just wish, you know, they got the lots of cars, lots of comedians, just not enough coffee for my taste.
I think I've said this here, but I'm going to reiterate it again. I'm sure I've said it elsewhere. So when Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee came out, I thought, what a great concept. And I go, you know what? I am an awesome ripoff artist. So I was thinking, how could I do that when it comes to wrestling, potentially, right? Uh-huh. So I had the idea, I came up with the name, I got the domain, and then now I cannot do it because WWE has since done, Dinner for Three with Three? And they've also done Ride Along, which is they've taken the two main concepts of Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee, and they split it into two different shows, okay? So I feel like I can't really go ahead with my concept, but the name of my concept to go along to kind of mirror the comedians and cars getting coffee. Mine was wrestling with wrestlers and restaurants.
Huh.
And I actually own that domain.
That's awesome. We should still do it, but we could just use like fake wrestlers or something.
Sure.
This idea is not really thoughtful. I haven't thought of this idea all the way, but.
Well, have you thought about what you're.
We should go with amateur wrestlers. That's what we should do. Like the up and coming high schoolers.
Oh my God. Come on, kiddo. Let's get in the car with a stranger.
You went real creepy with that real fast.
What are you drinking tonight?
Oh, I thought you were asking the kid that.
No, what are you drinking?
I was like, wow, he's getting really creepy.
Super creepy, man. Alive.
Oh, tonight, Sam Adams, courtesy of Sam Adams, I am drinking the Zesty and Bright Ginger Beer. It is yellow label. It is proudly brewed and bottled by the Boston Beer Company. 6.0% alcohol per volume and 18 IBUs. If you like to rate your IBUs or your beers on the IBU scale. So a ginger beer by Sam Adams. Here we go.
Beautiful. Nice.
That was nice.
6.0. That's kind of low on your alcohol rating scale for you. At least for you, it is. I think, right?
I mean, when you're normally drinking Jack Daniels by the bottle, I mean, it's just, I guess that I usually add some, you know, got to add some Jack Daniels to the bottle of beer and it kind of balances out. So.
I know that you're a NASCAR fan. One of my buddies went to Daytona a little while back and they were hanging out, you know, in the infield and some guy had a bottle of Jack and he goes something like, he goes, who needs a shot when you got a bottle?
Nice. That's classy. I just got through watching A Menace to Society. I don't know if you've ever seen that movie.
Yes, I've watched that before.
What is it? 1992, 1993, somewhere? 1993.
Throwback, man.
I literally, right before we started recording this podcast, just finished watching that movie. And they just walk around with 40s the whole movie. Like, everybody's got a 40. And I'm like, that's the way to do it. Just get some 40-ouncers, walk around the whole time. Have you heard about that game they play in college, the kids play, called Edward's 40 Hands?
I've heard of it, yeah.
Mm-hmm. By the way, no drinking if you're underage, right? But we're not condoning of these childish games, but where they literally tape bottles to their hands, 40-ounce bottles, and you can't use your hands until you drink one of them.
You like that game a lot, don't you?
I've never played it.
Oh.
Honest to God, I have never played that game.
Yeah, for some reason, I don't believe you.
I prefer to be a closet alcoholic. Just sit in my closet and drink all my alcohol. So.
Man, there's a lot of stuff to get to from wrestling for this week. I mean, there literally is a ton of things to get to. We will get to WWE programming from this past week coming up. We have to start with, as we're taping this, TNA is about to go on the air. And you are very excited about this particular edition of Impact Wrestling. And by the way, we shouldn't even call it TNA anymore, because quietly, TNA has gone from all the logos and from everything. In fact, the company has brought back Don West to do like this huge bargain basement sale on their website to get rid of anything that says TNA on it. Okay.
Don West. Wait, did they really bring Don West back?
Yes. Oh, you haven't seen that?
No.
Oh, yeah. Don West. We got crazy deals.
Oh, my God. This is fantastic. He says, this deal is unbelievable on Twitter at Don West Deals. This deal is unbelievable. You've got to be kidding me.
You've got to be kidding me.
10 knockout banners for just $25.
Yes.
This is, this is crazy. 500 brown bags in 4 hours.
Yeah.
I should have got some, man. I could have got all the deals.
So, yeah, they are getting rid of the TNA name off everything. They haven't officially announced that, but they've been doing it. So now everything is Impact Wrestling, including the brand new Anthem Impact Wrestling logo that they have unveiled that you are a favorite of.
Oh, the owl. Oh, yeah, the owl.
Which EC3 has talked to in the ring during a promo already. He goes, let's ask the Anthem Owl.
Oh, my God. It's the stupidest thing in the world. A bird? You're a freaking wrestling organization, and you go with a bird and an owl? This is like a Tootsie Roll Pop commercial? Like, what the hell?
The logo is just as cheesy as their website right now.
Oh, their website's great. No, it's great. It's like I designed it in college for my first ever web design class. That's what it is. It's beautiful.
That website right now is like a throwback to GeoCities. It literally is.
Maybe not quite that bad. It's pretty close.
It's pretty bad.
Don West. Oh my God. Don West is all over their website. Remember the angle where he used to get drunk and Mike Tenay would get all pissed off? Don, stop drinking. We're trying to do a show out here. It was, hey, Don, stop drinking. You know.
Don West came on the radio show back in the day, and he told the story about there was one of these Full Metal Mayhem matches.
Yeah.
And I think it was like Raven against Jeff Hardy or whoever it was. And in the middle of the match, you know, I mean, these guys are just using every weapon known to man, right? And at some point in the match, and by the way, I might be wrong about who's in the match. It might have been Abyss or something. But at one point, he goes, man, the destruction, the plunder. Look at all the horror. Well, when you say horror, it can also sound like the word whore.
Right.
And right when he said, look at the horror, which sounded like he said horror, the camera shot cut to a female in the crowd. It looked like he said, look at the whore. And they showed this woman in the crowd. He told the story in the air. He had us in stitches for freaking, 10 minutes off of this thing, man. God. It was crazy. Right. So I love Don West, man. So he's back with the company for now. But what's the match you're excited about that's on the show? By the time people are listening to this, Impact would have already taken place, so that they will know what you're talking about. But
I don't know if they will. This is a big headline on Impact Wrestling website: the race for the case.
Yes,
and whoever wrote this description, my God, they just must be making the big bucks over at TNA. Race for the case. What is it? It's the first ever time that we've heard of such. A race for, like, listen, no freaking lie. This is what they have posted on their website. Just listen to this copy. It's the first ever time that we've heard of such. A race for the case match that will change the game for several Impact stars. That sentence is broken. I'm sorry, guys. It's broken. So
is
here
it
we
like
go.
Broken Matt Hardy?
Yes, it is. Well, there's a Matt Hardy reference coming. On Thursday, roughly 12 competitors, so I guess they don't know how many, will enter the ring, all vying for a colored briefcase that's hung high around the ring. Not high above the ring, high around the ring. Four briefcases that
they hold... They are around the ring, okay?
Four briefcases that hold the number to their destiny. So whoever wrote this also wrote out the number four, and AP Style says you're supposed to write out the letter F-O-U-R. Anyway... Not only are the competitors fighting for a case, they're fighting for the best number. And obviously everyone wants to open their case to find the reveal of the number one. The number that is unveiled with each opening of a case will determine what order the winners will be able to pick a match of their choosing with any stipulation. That means that the competitor can challenge for whatever championship they would like. For the winner who opens the case with the number one inside, his opportunities are endless. So get this, they're hanging these four cases around the outside of the ring. These cases are have numbers inside, and the first person, I guess they open them up afterwards, right? It's kind of like Feast or Famine. Not quite as good as Judy Bagwell in a pole match, but pretty close. And let's see here. Once a match and its stipulation is decided, the other remaining winners with numbers 2, 3, and 4 cannot choose the same type of match or stipulation. Their choosing must be much, not just different. Their choosing must be much different than the first. Okay, here's the example. For example, if the winner of the case with the number 2 wants to challenge for the world title, and number 1 has already decided that they indeed want to compete. Also, right here, number 2 is they put the number 2 out, and number 1, they spelt it out, inconsistent. And number 1 has already decided that they indeed want to compete for the world championship. They are unable, and their decision must be rendered obsolete.
They're even talking like they're broken Matt Hardy.
So what this paragraph is saying is that whatever title number one chooses to challenge for, cannot be challenged for by number two. Whatever match type number one chooses to challenge for, number two cannot pick that match type. But what it says here is that if number two picks that match type, their decision will be rendered obsolete. My question is, why would you go up afterwards knowing it wouldn't count and say, I want to challenge for the same title? That doesn't make any sense. All the winners and their decided matches will take place in the future at Open Fight Night against a person of their choosing. I think it would be against the title holder of their choosing. So this is great. It all gets started on Thursday. Who will win the cases and what order will the competitors get to choose their choice of match? And all that encompasses. Tune in tomorrow at 8, 7 Central to find out who will be the lucky winners.
Oh, and I saw this match because I was at the tapings when they did this match.
How was it, Brian?
Well, what they do is, so there's 4 poles and there's 4 briefcases, one on each pole. And it was literally around the ring. So, and they've got, I don't know, there was about a dozen people in this match. So, like, slowly but surely, like, somebody got this case and somebody got that case. And, yeah, until all the cases were gone. So, basically, what they'll do is one person, like, whoever gets number one will probably go for the world championship. Somebody else will go for the X Division championship. Somebody else will go for the grand championship. And somebody will go for the tag team championship.
Uh-huh.
So that would be my guess.
Yeah. Okay, I mean, that makes sense, but it's just the way they frame that is terrible.
It's like, way too complicated.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes. And why don't they stick with the Feast or Fired? Or why do they add all these stupid stipulations in time in and time out?
I don't know. You know what the funny thing is when I was watching it, that's what I thought it was, the Feast or Fired. I didn't know it was going to be anything this drastically different.
Did they explain it to y'all in the Coliseum
no.
at night? Oh, okay.
No.
Here's
no,
the match.
No.
Watch it.
No, or they might have said race for the case, but yeah, I must have missed it. But
is that similar to the chase for the cup that NASCAR does?
I don't know if it's the same. Maybe not. But yeah, it was. I mean, it's one of these concepts that they do. I want to try to stay away from using TNA. I'm going to try to continue to just use Impact. Okay. But I mean, it's one of those wacky things. And the funny thing is, so you go to the tapings and. I'm not going to spoil anything, but I mean, I went to one night, and then for anybody that it's read any of the spoilers for the upcoming shows, it's the same old, same old. It was like nothing is different, you know? So if you're expecting something different now that Anthem owns it, nothing different has happened. Now, I tend to think, and I don't know this as a fact, but I tend to think that they wanted to do these first set of tapings so that way they could get through this, and then whatever transition that they want to do will take place between now and the next set of tapings. So we'll see how much of a difference that there really is or not. I mean, we could see different people come or go behind the scenes. I don't know that for a fact. We'll see. But, you know, I tend to believe that if there's going to be some changes, it will be after this set of tapings that they did. And plus, they've got some decisions when it comes to talent that are going to be up. You know, Drew Galloway's deal is up at the end of the month. The Hardys deal are up at the beginning of next month. So I don't know if both of them are staying, both of them are going, one's staying, one's going. So there's a lot of things that are kind of up in the air when it comes to their talent. That's probably going to affect some other things too.
Yeah. It's, I guess it makes sense at this point because of where you are, how close you are to the tapings. You kind of got to just go with the flow. But man, does it feel really low rent right about now in this transitionary time?
Yeah, unfortunately, it feels like the same old when it comes to TNA. Yeah. There were some better things when it came to booking last year. You know, I tend to think that it's much easier said than done, but I think that their talent roster is really shallow right now, just from the number of bodies. And I think they need some more people. But, you know, I mean, the talent that they have, there's good, but they just need more people because I think you're running into this rut of same old, a bit too much.
Sure. Sure.
Yeah. You know, so they got to get some more people, you know, and, you know, I hope I'm not spoiling anything here, but, you know, Cody Rhodes is back. Mm. So, you know, we'll see how long that he hangs around for and what he does. But, yeah, I just think they need some more bodies. And if they lose any of those three that I mentioned when it came to the Hardys or Galloway, that's going to be a big blow for them.
Well, and I think the Hardys, we've talked about this before, how they're kind of a hot commodity right now. And right. WWE is interested in them. So,
well, and then on top of that, the Hardys just announced today, Ring of Honor officially announced today that the Hardys will, in fact, face the Young Bucks for the ROH World Championships at Super Card of Honor April 1st in Lakeland, Florida.
Wow.
That is not an iPay-per-view. The only people that will be able to see that match are people that are there in the building. They might put it out later on a DVD or, you know, iPay-per-view, whatever. But they're not doing it live on the internet. That night, or putting it on pay-per-view live. You have to be there if you want to see it.
Wow.
And I believe I'm correct saying it was for the ROH Championships, but the Hardys and the Young Bucks, they have been teasing this all week. Those guys have been going back and forth on social media. The Hardys did a Facebook Live promo, and they even said they want to challenge everybody. They want to face tag teams everywhere. They mentioned by name American Alpha. They mentioned Sheamus and Cesaro. And then they also mentioned the Bucks of Youth, and they mentioned a couple others as well. But so that's, you know, they're going to be doing this match. It's taking place WrestleMania weekend.
That'll be interesting. It's a good way to kind of beef up some interest, you know, especially at a busy time. It's a cool idea. I like it.
Absolutely. So, I mean, the match is going to be taking place, and you know, it's interesting that it's happening. That it is being able to be put together and it's happening on ROH. I do wonder that one of the reasons why it's not streaming live on an iPay-per-view is because the Hardys do work for TNA.
Yeah, that would make a lot of sense. You got to protect that a little bit. You might
not be surprised by that. Yeah. And you know what? For anybody that says, well, okay, they're doing that match, that means they're not going to WWE. I don't know that for a fact.
I think it actually amplifies the possibility of them going to WWE. Oh, look, we're in town on WrestleMania weekend, and maybe we'll talk to some people and kind of get back in the fold a little bit.
Let me ask you this, okay? Because there's been a lot of things we would have never have thought could have happened that have happened over the last, say, 18 months, right? Sure. Could you foresee, and this is really a out on a limb one, but could you foresee the Hardys doing a one match in WWE?
You mean just one or like?
Yeah. What if they just came back and they did one match?
No, there's no way.
What if it was like a one night thing that the Hardys were back?
Why would the Hardys only come back for one match? I would see that because with somebody like Stone Cold Steve Austin, but why would the Hardys only come back for one match?
Because they would still go back to the schedule that they have right now, and they would work TNA and they work some other dates.
If they're coming back, they're coming back for one more run, I think. You're not going to tell me that Matt and Jeff, I get it, the road sucks, but if you have that chance to come back now as still a huge legend and still big names and make that money for one more year and experience all that, much like the Dudleys did, you're going to do it for a year. You're not going to do it for maybe 5 years, but you're going to kind of run at least a few months, if not a whole year.
Yeah, I don't think WWE would agree to do that. And I don't think TNA would be thrilled about it. Well, TNA would actually be thrilled about
it.
But WWE would not. And, you know, when it comes to the Hardys, I mean, I think we've mentioned this before. So it comes down to, are you interested in potentially making, more than likely, making more money by going back to WWE? Or do you want to stay in TNA where you're making good money, but you have total creative control? Because if you go to WWE, you're not exactly sure what they're going to do. You could talk about it in advance, but is it going to work out the way that you exactly want it every step of the way? Probably not. But that will happen with Impact.
I still believe that Yeah, you could go. I mean, you're giving up that creative freedom, but I believe it's still more beneficial to go and make that sacrifice for a year, because it kind of refreshes your relevancy in a certain way. And your name's still going to be out there. When you come back, they're still going to have those opportunities available to you. A company like TNA is not going to just forget about you in a year, because you're going to come back as a bigger name.
Maybe. I mean, they've done an incredible job of getting their name out there with TNA.
Yeah.
Which is a place where some people have had a hard time of knowing where people work at. The Hardys have done a really good job, because, I mean, you watch WWE shows and people would be saying delete and obsolete.
Right.
And whatever, you know, I mean, it's because it's the way of the world right now, how close the world is intertwined, how much social media plays an impact, and how people hear about these things. Even if they're not watching all of Impact, there's a lot of people that know about Broken Matt Hardy, and they right. know about Broken Nero.
Right.
So,
yeah.
Let's talk about the UK Championship Tournament from over the weekend.
Please. Oh, my God. Wasn't that a little slice of wrestling heaven this weekend?
That was a lot of fun. You know, I understand there are 16 people in it, and there's going to be some guys that, you know, did not have as much experience as some other people. And I figured the second night is going to be better than the first night. Kind of like what the Cruiserweight Classic was, from the standpoint of, yes, the first round was not going to be as good, but as it went along, it was going to be that much better. And that's what we got here, especially the second night. You know what? They found a way to do something different in that with this tournament, it was two nights, back-to-back days. They did an angle between the two shows. They did an angle at the end of the first show that bled over to the second show. They even expanded on social media, and they made it a lot of fun. The audience there was incredible and really getting into it. And they told a hell of a story throughout the tournament.
I think that's what I appreciated the most about it was this was a simple tournament with very few backstage segments and just a few interviews here and there. But they did such a fantastic job of setting up each of the wrestlers and why they were there and why this title meant so much to them and where they came from. And they just tied these storylines together. Of course, the major one with my boy Pete Dunne, obviously not Kevin Dunne, the famous.
Yeah.
Either, you know, my boy Pete Dunne. They built up these great stories that culminated in a fantastic main event and a fantastic second day altogether. And I just felt like I knew these guys after 2 days of watching them wrestle. I now have some inkling of who these guys are, who I'd never really been introduced that much to before. So I thought that was really cool. And Michael Cole, can we just take a second and give just major, major props to Michael Cole? He was on fire throughout this whole weekend. I thought he did a great job as the announcer. I don't know why he doesn't always bring that to Raw. I don't know if it's just the setup is so different, that the announce booth is so crowded, but him and Nigel McGuinness, but especially just calling out props for Michael Cole on telling these stories and making these moments feel really special and really important.
I'll tell you the difference between Michael Cole at the UK Championship Tournament and Michael Cole on Raw.
Mm-hmm.
Two words.
Nope.
Yep. Vince McMahon.
Yep.
That's all it is, because Vince was not in his ear. I mean, Michael does not need a producer. Michael is the producer for other talents.
Right.
Okay. That's one of his other main responsibilities there. It's not just calling Raw. He is the senior guy when it comes to the broadcast team, and he is helping produce other people. When it came to the show, I'm sure that he worked a lot with Nigel McGuinness leading up to it. It's funny because there's some people that said they were not a fan of Nigel when it comes to his broadcast work in Ring of Honor. And this is something I will say for Ring of Honor and for TNA, especially TNA. I think they have some talented broadcasters. I think they need to be produced. Kevin Kelly probably does not need to be produced. Maybe every now and then, maybe it's not bad to have somebody there. But the color commentator, like I love Steve Corino, but I just think as good as they are, they could be that much better if they have a producer. TNA, I think Josh Matthews can be very good. Sometimes he is. Sometimes I get a little turned off. The Pope is not good. But I do wonder what would happen if they had a producer, because I do not think that they have a producer.
I agree. I've noticed, and that's one of the weak things when we watched the New Japan Pro Wrestling. It's just not quite as good as it could be. And those moments fall flat. And I don't want to blame Steve Corino, because I think he's a very talented individual. But I do feel like it's not being sold and the story's not being told in the right way. And the wrong things are almost being emphasized, especially to a program like New Japan, where you might not be quite as comfortable or familiar with it as an American wrestling fan. So you tune in and you really need the announcers to double down on that, which is what made the UK tournament so great this weekend, because the announce team filled in all those gaps. Michael Cole, especially, Nigel McGuinness did a good job, but I think that production came together, and I do attribute a lot of it to Michael Cole also having that background, like you said, in doing some of the production.
By the way, I think the another person that did an outstanding job, ring announcer Andy Shepherd was fantastic as well. Yes. I love the ring announcer. But, you know, when it came to the tournament, like I said, they told this great story. Pete Dunne was just, you know, I'm going to do whatever I have to do to get the job done. You know, between
Pete Dunne, he's going to get the job done. I see what you did there.
Exactly. So, like, when they lined up everybody that made it to the second day, and he attacked Sam Gradwell, and, you know, William Regal was ticked, and Triple H was ticked, and they were thinking about, you know, what they were going to do, you know, to him for this heinous attack. And the storyline was Sam Gradwell said, no, I want him in the tournament. I want to get revenge, but Pete Dunne beat him. And then, you know, he advanced, he made it all the way to the finals. And on the other side, it was the young 19-year-old Tyler Bate. And they even did an angle. So Tyler Bate wins his semifinal match. And afterwards, Pete Dunne attacks him. And Pete Dunne's already made it to the finals by being Mark Andrews. And he attacks him. He goes after the shoulder. And then they tell that story even in the main event. Like, Tyler Bate's trying to do his finisher and he can't do it. And then finally, he was able to gut it out through the shoulder pain. And he was able to do his finisher. And he hit it and he beats Pete Dunne. And they just told this great story when it came to this. You know, especially the second day, the wrestling was a lot better. Wolfgang really stood out to me. I liked him a lot. Big dude, really athletic. Trent Seven is a lot of fun from Mustache Mountain, which is just a great gimmick, I thought.
Yeah.
And then Bate and Dunne both were really outstanding. So I'm curious to see what's going to happen next for those guys. And plus, as an added bonus on the show, they had Neville taking on Tommy End, which was a lot of fun as well. And he went by Tommy End, even though he's already been on NXT house shows and he has a different name, but they let him go by Tommy End here on the show.
It's crazy. Also, we had the in-ring return of Finn Balor.
Or Finn Balor.
Yeah, that's what I said, Finn Balor. Sorry, yeah. I've been watching too much college.
It's okay, man.
The Baylor Bears.
The Baylor Bears.
You know, it was nice seeing him there. I mean, they just did some nice touches on this. And, you know, now we'll get to see exactly what's going to happen off of this. You know, they've been talking about trying to do a weekly 1 hour show on the network using UK talent, which they may very well do. The big talk right now is, I don't know if it's finalized, but it could be close to being finalized, that promotions like ICW, OTT, which is Over the Top, and Progress, it looks like they are finalizing deals to air programming on the WWE network. And there's a couple of interesting things that are going to come off that. I believe two of those already have like a pay streaming service. So I don't know if that will continue or not. And then on top of that, and we're already seeing some repercussions off of this, that there, some of these talents are not going to be able to work some other UK shows, because anybody that was in this tournament, they're under a contract with WWE. So there's already going to be some conflicts that we're going to see. And we'll see exactly how this plays out, what happens, you know, what culture has a big promotion over there as well. So, you know, I'm sure they're not gonna be able to work the What Culture shows. There's just so many good UK promotions that are going on right now. Oh, and also I have to mention this one too. So Five Star Wrestling over there, just had Drew Galloway announce that coming up on January 28th, they are going to do a live show on the UK version of Spike TV. It's like a loaded lineup. Like, Galloway's there. I believe Cody Rhodes is on that show. Rey Mysterio is on that show. I mean, it is a freaking loaded lineup. And they're going to be doing that on live television in the UK.
Huh. Well, I guess that's where do you go with the United Kingdom title after a tournament like this? And the only way I think you can really make it work is if you have some ongoing shows on a regular basis over there. So, you know, I think that would be a great way to tie it in, is to have these guys win this belt and then show up in some of these other promotions with it. That would be really cool.
I think that's what they have to do. Like you said, just show up there. What I do not want to see is I'd be happy if they showed up on WWE television. I don't know what kind of response they're going to get, but I hope it's not a situation. And I guess the easiest way to tie it in, because this is the instance I can think of, is when the ECW champion showed up on Raw and got beat.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So if he comes over, whoever the champion, you know, if it you know, is still Tyler Bate, I don't want to see him come over and immediately face somebody that's a lot bigger than him and lose. You know, they yeah. got to show some respect for the title.
Well, and the best way to do that, especially if you have a younger guy, more of a rookie with the championship, is to bring them over, put that United States championship on one of your upper mid-carders, somebody like Dolph Ziggler or The Miz, or some guy who's kind of touched that main event scene, but is kind of established more in the middle right now. Put the United States Championship on them and then have them feud with the UK champion and let the UK champion go over. That would be a great introduction to the American audience of some of these great UK talents. And it would be a really fun storyline.
It's too bad it's not The Miz. Because it can't be because the U.S. title is on Raw. But
right. Can
you imagine? Okay, people would be torn because I am an American and I want to root for the United States champion. But it's the freaking Miz, okay?
Right.
And then, meanwhile, I've got this, you know, just, you know, white meat baby face European, you know, UK champion, you know, that, hey, I want to root for the American, you know, but I like this guy so much and I hate the Miz so much, you know? So there could be a great story there. Or they could also do, imagine if the United States champion was Rusev.
Yep. That would be, I mean, the problem is you have to be careful. I think if you, we really in wrestling so often fall back to this, the United States guy is the good guy and everybody, a foreigner, is a bad guy. And we don't live in that world anymore. So I just love the aspect. I think Rusev is maybe a step too far. I like having somebody in there who is just thorough WWE. They've been there for a while. I think Rusev is a little bit too small, and I think it would make that feud feel more minute.
Maybe, you know what the fun thing could be is if they ever did something like that and you did have an American United States champion that was a babyface and you had a heel UK champion like Pete Dunne, because then you'd have these lines drawn where UK fans and say you did the match over in the UK because UK fans would root for their guy no matter what. And United States fans, American fans would root for their guy no matter what, you know, from that situation. So and that's kind of like the Bret Hart representing Canada when he was heel kind of thing, and then he went back to Canada and everybody, he was a heel in the United States but he was a baby face in Canada.
That was
awesome stuff. So I mean, there's a way you could recreate that. I'm not exactly sure how much they want to use the UK championship on television with Raw or SmackDown. They might not ever do it. But I mean, there are ways to do it if you want to integrate it, not all the time, but at least do an angle off of it.
Yeah, I think that's the way we make this work. And I still think, like you were talking about earlier, having those other promotions show up as a partnership with WWE, promoting the title like that, that would be a really cool way to kind of bridge those gaps.
So, I mean, now we're going to see exactly where WWE goes next. There's been some talk about them going to Mexico to do something similar. There's also been talk about Japan, which is something that I hit on early in the year when I made my predictions, that I think that they want to really go over to Japan and make a mark there. We'll see exactly where they go next. Speaking of Japan, though, New Japan Pro Wrestling, you know, they want to expand to the United States. They're talking about that more and more. They're going to be doing two shows at the Long Beach Convention Center, July 1st and 2nd. And those will be right before their big G1 Climax tournament. Mm-hmm. Those shows are not going to be part of the tournament, but it's kind of going to be like a kickoff to the tournament almost.
Gotcha.
So that's kind of their introduction to the United States when it comes to the debut show here, where it's a pure New Japan show. And, you know, I hope everybody listened to the podcast I did with Rocky Romero, or you can even listen to or read the story I did for Sporting News. And, you know, he says, hey, the hope is that we do so well on those shows. Who knows? Maybe we do some other shows in Philadelphia, or we do shows wherever. You know, they've even talked about trying to set up a base in California. So they've got plans for it. We'll see exactly how well it works. But, you know, New Japan has some aspirations. New Japan World has done well. They got it's not doing incredibly great, but it's doing well. And it got a boost off of Wrestle Kingdom. And we have to see where it goes here. One of the big parts for an expansion for them, which Rocky has said and other people have said, and you can imagine, is whether or not they keep Kenny Omega, you know, because he has become such a big star. He's not American. He's Canadian, right. But obviously he speaks perfect English. And that crossover star, it would be a big deal to have Kenny. And that's where the question is right now. Kenny's starting to do some media. And in fact, he was on Taz's show the other morning. And he said a couple of notable things. He had said, hey, guess what? You know, when AJ and Nakamura and Gallows and Anderson all left, New Japan started to sign some talents to unique deals. He said he was one of them. And he went on to say, like, hey, I'm not trying to screw with anybody. I am, you know, making up my mind. He said he's a free agent. He said that he is available, and he said he was not sending out feelers, but was open to receiving them. And he said it's not a money thing. He goes, it is not a money situation. It's about doing something where I can make an impact. I can do some things my way, and I can help change the business. And he's also said, too, that some of the stuff that he's seen from talent from New Japan and what they're doing now in WWE has kind of opened his eyes. And he said it appears WWE is more receiving of seeing somebody like him in a way that would allow him to contribute to the company more than in the past. So there was some telling stuff that was going on there. I still believe he's not going anywhere. He says he's a free agent. I don't know if that means he is now or January 31st, because that's always been the belief when his contract ends. I think that is the case no matter what, that he's at least under contract through the 31st. He's not on their shows that they're doing right now, which is the Fantastic-O-Mania shows. He was not going to be a part of that. The Bullet Club's not a part of those right now. That's the Mexican stars versus Japanese stars, which they do every time of the year this year in New Japan.
Right.
But, we will see what happens. If, you know, it depends on, does WWE make an offer that he feels comfortable with, where he, you know, it's kind of like what they're doing with AJ Styles. Could this all be a ruse that he's just building up talk and he's staying with New Japan? Maybe. Even if he does stay with New Japan, it's not necessarily that he's like messing with everybody right now. And even if he is, I don't blame him whatsoever, because he's trying to get some attention for himself and for whatever promotion he goes to. But it's a fascinating situation to follow right now, because there is so much attention around him right now. Like I said before, I tend to think that he will stay with New Japan and continue the quest towards the IWGP Heavyweight Championship, but we'll see what happens here in a few weeks.
It would make sense for him to do this. There's no judgment here, because he is at an all-time high. And for him to kind of come out and tease this, whether or not it's true, it's just a way to kind of see what's out there. And I think it makes smart business sense. It's like these guys who go pro after having a great year in college football or in college basketball, right? You're at an all-time high. Your offer, it could go down from here, right? When you're at your peak, it could always go down. So why not capture that moment, take advantage of it while you're still incredibly relevant?
Absolutely. I mean, it's just a business move. And I believe him when he says, hey, it's not a money thing. Obviously, money will play a part in any decision. But I don't think it's one of these where, you know, money is going to be the end all be all factor. I think he's got an idea for what he wants to do in the business, where he wants to take his career, what he wants to accomplish. And if he hears the magic words from different places, it makes his decision that much tougher. And, you know, I think what makes it a little bit tougher for him is that he has seen what has happened with AJ Styles. And if they would allow him to be booked, I guess kind of in that manner, between like what they've done with AJ and I would say what they originally did with Kevin Owens, because lately, I mean, his stuff has been very fun with Chris Jericho. But remember when he debuted, he made such a huge impact of beating up John Cena, and then he beat Cena in their first match and things like that. I'm not saying it's necessarily about wins and losses, but it's about high profile matches, being able to have the matches that you want and being involved in top storylines that help define what the WWE is at this time. I think that is what weighs heavily on his mind. And if WWE is willing to do that, I think they're, you know, if in fact he is a free agent, mm-hmm. I think that could make his decision, you know, to come to WWE so much easier.
Sure.
Now, it depends. I mean, it might be a situation where he says, hey, if they're going to put the IWGP Heavyweight Championship on me this summer, or we're going to do a storyline to where I challenge for it again next year at Wrestle Kingdom, maybe he stays. Yeah. And who knows? If he goes back to New Japan, or if he remains with New Japan, maybe it's just until next January, you know, and then he leaves. Or maybe it's for 2 years. I don't know. I mean, you know, I believe he's 33 years old right now. He's at the top of his game, and he's got a big decision to make.
Yep. Yep. It'll be interesting to see what happens. He would be a great asset, but New Japan, he could do some fantastic things there in the next year as well. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, and I'm excited whatever decision he makes, because I think it's going to be a lot of fun to follow him wherever he goes. You know, there's great matches for Kenny Omega in New Japan and in WWE.
I wanted to clarify. I'm now seeing these tweets pop up as we watch live, as we record live, and while Impact Wrestling is happening. And apparently these briefcases and the chase for the case are all colored of different types.
Yes, they are.
That's very interesting. You know, added layer of complexity here.
I don't remember seeing any numbers on them. Mm. I just know they're all different colors.
Yeah, well, there are numbers inside of them, I guess, and they showed, you know, numbers and colors are kind of the same thing, you know.
Yeah, because I remember seeing a green one.
Mm-hmm. That's what Jeff Hardy won. I'm sorry, spoiler alert. Sorry.
Oh!
We don't know what's inside the case.
Oh, by the way, one more thing on the Kenny Omega thing, okay?
Yeah.
So I noticed this earlier today in my perusing of the internet, the interwebs. So I went to WWE.com and I watched this video of current talent talking about who they would like to see in the Royal Rumble.
Uh-huh.
And Kenny Omega's name was in the title of it.
Okay. Yeah. They edited that out, didn't they?
Well, what happened was Seth Rollins goes, who would I like to see? Kenny Omega. He's like the hottest name right now. Could we get him from New Japan? And then later, Anderson and Gallows say, Tama Tonga. Man, that's our boy from over Japan. And then Gallows is like, bad luck, Fale. So, yeah, they yanked that video.
Yeah. I was going to say, they edited it.
Yep. No, they didn't edit it. They just pulled it. They pulled it. So,
yeah. Tama Tonga coming to WWE. Just
Tama Tonga, everybody. Orlando Zone.
Oh,
yep. I have to say Orlando Zone, because he does live here in Orlando.
Nice.
Another guy. So we are now getting to WrestleMania season, and with that, the Hall of Fame.
Uh-huh.
And WWE has officially named the first person to go into the Hall of Fame the headliner.
He's not the first person. Hold on. Let's clarify. He's not the first person they've named. They just named the headliner this week.
He is the first person they've named.
No, they announced Rick Rude.
No, they have not announced Rick Rude.
I thought I heard somebody say they had.
No, I mean, websites are speculating. And no, Kurt Angle is the first name for the Hall of Fame, and he is going to be the headliner.
Okay.
Man, you're reading all these, you know, nasty websites with rumors.
Somebody tweeted me, I'm sure. People tweet me that kind of stuff all the time. You know how it is. People are.
Just to let you know, Rick Rude is going into the Hall of Fame. His family's already been told.
spoiler alert, everybody.
What? But yeah, it was good seeing Kurt, you know, and you know, he's done a couple of interviews. He did one with ESPN, he did one with Sports Illustrated, and he has said, hey, you know, I don't know if I'm going to be back in the ring. We haven't gone that far. We haven't talked about that. Right now, this is all about the Hall of Fame, and we'll go from there. I think it's pretty obvious he wants to do one match, at least one match. Whether or not that opportunity is going to be afforded to him remains to be seen. I think WWE would have to know where exactly they'd want to use him. They'd have to feel confident in what shape he's in, like in his body would stand it. I mean, I'm sure they would put him through the rigors of their medical testing that they do with anybody. Uh-huh. But he is 48 years old, and he's had a litany of injuries in the past, including a broken freaking neck, which he won an Olympic gold with. And he's since broke his neck a couple of times. I would like to see him back in the ring, but I'm just happy to see Kurt back and going into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I think it's awesome. It's great timing. It had some excitement this time of the year. It was an unexpected surprise. We've been talking a lot about Kurt Angle, saying, you know, his contract's coming up, what's going to happen with him this year. This is a great way to handle him coming, like, he, as he put it in his tweet, back into the family. So, really exciting announcement. I'm just curious what happens next for Kurt Angle. Do we see him potentially on Sunday in 2 weeks? I doubt it. It's not looking likely, but that would be a fun surprise. Do we see him in a match, a Mania weekend? Do we see him at SummerSlam hyping up the next WWE 2K game? Who knows? But it's cool because I feel like we're one step closer to getting another match out of Kurt Angle.
I agree. And I think he's still going to be the cover guy for 2K. I do think that that is going to happen. I will say this, though, man. I love Kurt's music, and it's funny because there's certain music that just fits a personality to a T.
Yeah.
And Kurt Angle is one of those guys. When you hear the first beats of that music, you identify him so quickly with it, obviously, and it just fits into a T. And I thought it was funny that when they showed, you know, they showed the video package for Kurt Angle going to the Hall of Fame, and then they cut to the live crowd for Raw. And the fans there were cheering, they're going nuts, and they started going, "You suck, you suck."
Yeah.
And Kurt since said, he was like, "Oh, that was great." He was worried about the reaction, and it's right back into it. So, I mean, this is
a
big deal.
You know that music wasn't originally his, though, right? You know that was used for, like, The Patriot or somebody back in the day.
Yeah, but, I mean, it fits Kurt so great. And it's funny, I've watched a couple of clips of Kurt from back in the day. God, there's some stuff that was so ridiculous and so funny. Do you remember the sexy boy?
No.
Sexy Kurt?
No.
So, leading up to his WrestleMania match with Shawn Michaels, he was mocking Shawn every week.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
So, the one week he came out to Shawn's theme, Sexy Boy, and he had Sensational Sherry with him.
Yeah.
And he got to the ring, and they were like, "Hey, he's got Shawn's original manager." And he started talking, goes, "Anything you do, I can do better. Sensational Sherry's better off with me now." And, you know, and he was doing all the poses and everything. And he goes, "Man," he goes, "I can even do your song better than you." And he started, and they sang the the Shawn Michaels theme song, but he had his own words to it. And it included Sherry doing the screeching of the, at the beginning of it. It was so ludicrous, and he was like, "Eat your heart out, Shawn," and all. It was just the most horrible singing, but it was a fantastic segment.
Yeah.
Everybody, you know, remembers Milk-a-Mania, basically, you know, spraying everybody with milk. And, you know, there's a lot of great memories with Kurt. It's funny because,
and just like the memories of him actually in the ring having fantastic match after match
absolutely. And the, you know, the thing is, like, when it's all said and done, he spent 6.5 years with WWE. He spent 9 or 10 years with TNA. Uh-huh. You remember a couple of moments in TNA, but even though he spent more time there, I think his career is a lot more identifiable, and rightfully so, with WWE, because that's where he came up through, just the bigger stage that they have, the matches he had there when he was in his prime. You know, by the time he got to TNA, he was really good, but, you know, he was breaking down a little bit, obviously, and that's one of the reasons why he always says he left WWE when he did, because he just needed that reduced schedule. He had some moments in TNA, but the biggest moments of his career, obviously, are still with WWE. His biggest career, you know, stuff with TNA, though, was against AJ Styles and Samoa Joe.
Yeah, he's had some good matches in TNA. You go back to that initial run, I think what was so great about it is he took to the business in such a fast way, at such a hot time, and forged out this great identity alongside the likes of Stone Cold Steve Austin and The Rock and all these other guys at this moment in time where wrestling was at its apex. And to come out with this kind of quirky, goofy dude who was an Olympic gold medalist and had figured out pro wrestling, it was just something so special. And again, the quality of matches that he put on made that such a great time to be a Kurt Angle fan and to see him in action. And what he did in TNA has been great as well, but the stage was never quite as big. It wasn't WrestleMania. It wasn't always against the same likes of headliners like Shawn Michaels or Brock Lesnar or The Rock and Chris Benoit. So, different time, right? But, man, we're lucky that he got pushed so fast that he went from on the scene to a year later in the main event picture, because we got everything we could out of Kurt Angle throughout that time period.
And I think if you talk to wrestlers, they will say the two people that they've seen the quickest to adapt to professional wrestling, Brock Lesnar and Kurt Angle. Mm. And Kurt Angle probably even more so, just because of the charisma. I mean, Brock was always the silent guy, and he should have been, because he's just, you know, a monster. But Kurt, the charisma that he showed from day one, how, I mean, there were people talking about, like, a developmental, like, he was training for a week and he could already put together matches.
Yeah.
I believe was the story. It was like, it was that quick that he took to it. And, you know, like you said, a year after he debuted, I mean, within the first year, I believe he won like the Intercontinental Championship or the European Championship. And then, you know, a year after he debuted, he beat The Rock for the WWE Championship. Remember when they were doing the whole, you know, WCW versus WWE, and Stone Cold was aligned with WCW, but he had the WWE Championship. It was Kurt Angle that brought glory back to the WWF by defeating Stone Cold and making him tap out, you know, and then they had the big celebration in the ring with his family, and the locker room came out, and everybody had him on his shoulders and all this stuff. So he has wanted to come back for a long time. It's good to see him back and see him happy and healthy. If he's healthy enough and WWE wants him to have a match, that'd be fantastic. I would like to see that. I think there is a variety of ways you could go with that as well. He has already said he would love to face AJ Styles. And I know everybody, it seems like, says they want to face Taker. And I don't think Angle would have a problem with that. But he has said if he could face anybody, he would want to face AJ Styles. Mm. And I am definitely not opposed to that at all.
Well, and I'm going to give, we talk about Kurt Angle. Kurt Angle's 48 years old, right? He got a late start in pro wrestling. But Kurt Angle is also one of the fittest sons of a gun you'll ever see in your life. And so I know he's had some health issues, and I know he's had a broken neck, as we mentioned. But I think if anybody could get in ring shape and stay that way for maybe a short run, I think Kurt Angle could be the guy who's determined enough to do it.
He's still got two indie matches that he signed up for between now and the end of March. Mm. One of them is a cage match, which Cody Rhodes, in fact. So, you know, he's still in really good shape. He'll always be in really good shape, I think, you know. Plus, he's doing movies and stuff like that. So he wants to stay in, you know, in tip-top shape for those as well. But, you know, I don't know. We'll see if they let him do a match and where it would be. I could see a scenario where he was doing it at WrestleMania. I could see a scenario where he was doing it at SummerSlam.
Yeah. I think that could be the interesting go, as we set it up at WrestleMania with Hall of Fame, and then we don't actually have the match until SummerSlam. Give you another hook for later in the season.
Do you want to do Guess WrestleMania right now?
Guess-o-mania. I don't know that I have that many changes from last week.
Well, let's talk about some WrestleMania right now.
Some WrestleMania right now.
Now, the reason why I say that is because, let's go with the Kurt Angle thing, okay? Mm-hmm. I think there's an easy angle that they could do.
Angle.
Storyline that they could do where AJ Styles was no longer the WWE champion, but he faced Kurt Angle on that show. Or I could actually see with AJ being the champion as well. You could do the Kurt Angle coming back, wants one more grasp for glory before he retires, and everybody loves him some Kurt Angle, and he challenges AJ Styles, and AJ wins, but they have a stellar match at WrestleMania. Either way, even if AJ didn't have the title, I think they could set up that match. You know, it'd be one of these, Kurt says, hey, before, you know I'm going into the Hall of Fame, I know I'm in the twilight of my career, but before I go out, I want one more match at WrestleMania, and that means I want to go against the best, and that is you, AJ Styles. They could do that, and I think they have a really good match. I don't know if WWE would be up for it, but if they were going to have them at Mania, I could see something like that. I know a lot of people have said, should they maybe lessen the load and like do like a six-man where maybe he teamed with American Alpha? Something like that. I'd love to see him in a singles match.
Nobody wants to see that happen. Yeah, I was going to say, nobody wants to see a mixed tag, or not a mixed tag, but a multi-man tag match happen for Kurt Angle's first match back. They want the spotlight to be on Angle.
I mean, if you did Kurt Angle against Rusev, that fits. But here's the thing. With that one, I'd say Kurt would need to win.
Yes.
I mean, if you had him against AJ, he could easily lose and still look fantastic in losing.
I mean, you could do something fun around the United States Championship and Kurt Angle going after that because he's the he's such an all-American icon. You could have him beat a lower card wrestler like Rusev at Mania, just to kind of as a warm-up act, and then set him up for a bigger feud going into SummerSlam against AJ Styles. That could be cool. I would love them to try to make Jack Swagger relevant one more time and use Kurt Angle to do it. I think that would be a lot of fun.
You know, I'm curious to see if they would do it for Mania, because they've never done it from a standpoint of, hey, this guy is retiring, or have they? Have they done it where they say a guy's going into the Hall of Fame, he's retiring, but he's having one last match?
They've never framed it in that way. I'm trying to think. So
Sean, we knew he was retiring, but he wasn't going into the Hall.
Right. He didn't go until, Ric Flair had.
Oh, Ric Flair, they did it that way. He went into the Hall of Fame the same weekend.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. So that Flair, I thought maybe they had done it before, but yeah, Flair was the one time that they've done it so far. But I mean, you could do it here. So, by the way, if you want to talk about other names rumored for the Hall of Fame, so obviously Ravishing Rick Rude, which is happening. Christian's name has been thrown around.
Yeah.
Beth Phoenix's name has been thrown around. Mm-hmm. I've heard Teddy Long. I've heard IRS. Now, some of these might just be totally bogus. Mm-hmm. It might be red herrings. I don't know. But there's as always, there's a bunch of names being thrown around right now. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. But Kurt Angle is going to be the headliner. I thought maybe it was going to be Goldberg. Obviously, it's not. He's not going in this time.
Do you think that means we get a longer run from Goldberg? Because you and I had this discussion, and we both kind of felt like it was probably going to be Goldberg going in as the headliner this year, and it set up the match, and he had his final match, and he leaves. Does this indicate we could potentially see a little bit of a longer run from Goldberg here heading into next year's WrestleMania?
It could. I mean, I could see him at SummerSlam, but I think that WrestleMania will be it.
Okay.
Unless he's just bringing him so much money that they can't. That they give him a super sweetheart deal and they bring him back for another match. I think he could headline WrestleMania or Hall of Fame next year.
Yeah.
Or the good thing is now with Goldberg, they can have him headline a Hall of Fame whenever they need it, because they're always wondering, like, okay, who can headline a Hall of Fame? Are we running short on names?
Yeah.
And they are, but they aren't. Because right now, Kurt Angle is doing it right now, but they still have Goldberg. They have Triple H. They have Undertaker. Who else am I leading out that could headline? He's not going to headline, I'll tell you that.
He could if he ever comes back into the fold.
Right. You know, but you're asking for a lot there, bud.
You're just a hater. Get off my
No, side. I'm just saying, I don't know if he ever wants to come back. I mean, there's still some heavy fences to mend there. They're a long way from that one happening, I think. Like I said, you've got Goldberg, you've got Triple H, you've got Taker. Oh, The Rock is still not even in, So, I mean, there's four huge names right there that can headline, whenever you want. And then you're going to get
Triple
to a point.
H, I mean, you're going to have.
Yeah. So you've got four right there, and then go down the line. I mean, you're gonna have some other people as well that are really big names.
Dixie Carter.
Sooner or later, it's still later, but Randy Orton, I think he might even be able to headline a Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I think so. And you're gonna have some big names coming up as this attitude. So does Batista headline the year he goes in? Okay.
Yes. Batista would be another headliner.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Rey Mysterio.
I would say yes, he would be the headliner, but that remains to be seen. But I would say yes.
Okay.
So I mean they've got some names. They've got some guys. And hey, Rey Mysterio 2K18, right?
Yeah.
Or 2K19.
What do you mean?
He could be on the cover for the 2K game for Well, the next one is it? The next one's 2K18.
That comes out in August. 2K18, yes.
So I'm saying this one's Kurt Angle, and the following year maybe it's Rey Mysterio.
Yeah. Do you think the Hardy Boys go in as a complete unit when they go in, or do they get inducted? Okay.
I think they go as a tag team.
Okay.
By the way, can we get the Rock and Roll Express in this thing already?
Yeah, it's up to you.
Can we please get the Rock and Rolls?
Before my time. Was that some of that 80s stuff you're talking about? 80s wrestling stuff?
Will you stop it?
Let's not even go there.
My God, put them in already, man. You're ridiculous. By the way, if you haven't realized this already, people, this is kind of a supersized Between the Ropes podcast right now. Any other guest WrestleMania stuff since we veered away from that?
I feel fairly confident again now after having watched Raw that they are going to have Kevin Owens and Chris Jericho feud over the United States Championship heading into Mania.
Over the United States Championship. Okay. Yes,
I'm going to double down on that. I think they're teasing a feud between them, but I do not think the Raw writing team and Vince McMahon wants to make it for the Universal Championship because they're somewhat short-sighted. And I feel like we're going to see Kevin Owens versus Chris Jericho. And I think the setup's going to be very much like what you said, where Chris Jericho inadvertently screws over Kevin Owens. So...
Mm-hmm. And now he's the one that still has the championship and Kevin Owens does not.
Yeah.
What do you make of the talk from the Wrestling Observer that the Undertaker versus John Cena is off the table?
I think that's really freaking dumb. Like, you better have a damn good match to replace it, because that is a dream match. And if you're going to leave money on the table, I don't want to see none of this Shane McMahon versus John Cena crap or The Undertaker versus Braun Strowman. Like, those aren't money matches. WrestleMania is a money show. So I'm just saying that's dumb. It's dumb, dumb, dumb.
I would like to see that match. We'll see what else they come up with if, in fact, they're not doing it. But, I mean, they could still do Taker and Cena, I guess, at next year's Mania, or they could do it at SummerSlam if Taker is up for, you know, still doing that. I don't know what the schedule is going to be like. I wanted to see it this year, but according to that report, it's not going to happen. Now, supposedly, it's not going to be Taker versus Braun Strowman. So, are we talking Undertaker versus Roman Reigns, potentially?
Oh, my God. Are you kidding me? I hope it's Undertaker versus Bill Goldberg. That's what I want to see.
Well, I don't think you're going to get that.
The match nobody ever asked for. Two of the biggest names in wrestling history.
The match you never asked for, but the match you're going to get anyway.
What's Sting doing? Let's bring Sting out of retirement. Let's
let him do Sting's retired. I'm trying to think what other match they could do. So there's still some belief from some that AJ Styles could face Shane O'Mac.
That's
which
true.
I'm not the biggest fan of.
It's a waste of good wrestling. It's not so much that I don't like Shane McMahon in a match. It's that when you have really great matchups and really great wrestlers who can give us 4-star, 5-star quality outings.
What?
Why would you waste that?
What are these stars you're talking about?
Six stars? Why would we waste that?
Well, you know, I don't want to see Shane wrestle anymore, you know, just because he's taken some bad bumps. And I just think it's time for, I mean, hey, the guy goes out there. I give him credit. He trains. He's a daredevil. He puts his body on the line every time. I just think we're at a point where we shouldn't see Shane McMahon out there. Plus, I'm not the biggest fan of him going toe to toe with top stars.
Right.
I never have been. I can understand a little bit more in the past, but I'm really not a fan of it now. Now, let's dream book a little bit then.
Okay.
Okay.
I got my own dream book. I write it every night.
Yes. So if you do not have an opponent for, say, John Cena, or you do not have an opponent for AJ Styles.
You're dumb, first off, but go on.
And you don't want them to face each other, which I think potentially could happen at WrestleMania. Even though we've seen it before, I think it could get dragged out that far. But say you need an opponent for one of the others and you're in dream booking mood. There's a couple names. Samoa Joe.
Okay.
The other name? Kenny Omega.
Okay.
How would you like to see Kenny Omega versus AJ Styles at WrestleMania?
That could be fun. That would be a really good match.
Here's the thing with that, though, okay? If you do that match, you don't... God bless whoever has to follow that, okay?
That's true.
Because I'm going to tell you right now, the final match at WrestleMania is going to be Goldberg versus Brock Lesnar. Okay? Now, if Kenny Omega goes to WWE, I could see a match between those two, but probably not until SummerSlam.
Yeah.
Now, Samoa Joe against AJ Styles, I guess I could see that. If you know, if we do in fact see Joe come up right now at the Rumble. You know, it's funny because I want to see Joe and I want to see Nakamura both come up. Obviously, Nakamura is still the champion in NXT. I do not think he's going to lose that championship in San Antonio for the next TakeOver show. But say Nakamura was to be on WrestleMania, and it's nothing against Joe. I've seen Joe and AJ, and they have stellar matches, and I'd love to see him again. But if I had to pick, I would love to see Nakamura against Styles.
That could be fun. I would love, that's something, really cool, and it would bring in a very diverse audience, especially fans of New Japan who already know Styles and would tune in to see that matchup.
I'd love to see Nakamura against Cena, or Joe against Cena.
I think Joe against Cena could work, because I don't feel like a little bit more like an icon versus icon match at this point for WWE fans. No offense to Nakamura.
So can I book SummerSlam right now? And say AJ Styles versus Kenny Omega and John Cena versus Shinsuke Nakamura at SummerSlam?
You can't book it until you come up with a catchy name like Suss Out SummerSlam, like that, see?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Where's Bobby Roode fit into the picture? When does he get called up?
Well, he's going to be the NXT champion, so I don't know. Maybe 2018?
Mm, okay.
I don't know. You know,
Rumble next year?
I mean, I'd love to see all... You know, I'd love to see Joe and Nakamura and Bobby all on the main roster, but they just gotta, you know, they gotta figure out who else is going to be in NXT, the top guys there, you know? So, you know, they're bringing in, you know, Chris Hero, Cassius Ohno. They've got to bring in some other guys, and I'm not exactly sure who that could be, when that could be. There's always been rumors about guys. I mean, I think we all believe Kyle O'Reilly is coming in.
Yeah.
Okay. When exactly that would be, I don't know. I don't think it's until at least March, if I had to guess. There's a lot of people that believe Adam Cole is coming in once his contract expires with Ring of Honor in April. I think that's very much up in the air. It definitely could happen, but I don't think it's as, you know, written in ink as a lot of people believe. I think sooner or later he'll be with WWE. Whether it happens this year or not remains to be seen. You know, so you've got those two guys. I'm not exactly sure who else there would be that they would go after right now to be a top guy in that brand. But, you know, they're not just going to let, you know, all three of their top guys in NXT just leave and not have somebody else in place, right, you know, in those spots.
Well, and so who knows who they're bringing in? I mean, there's other possibilities of ways to make top guys by having them debut as top guys, you know?
You know, I still like the idea, and I'm, you know, pay-wise, I don't know how this works, and you'd hope guys still get paid the amount they're getting paid for being on the main roster, but there are some guys that I would still love to see there on the main roster go back to NXT.
Yeah.
Like I said, there's a monetary issue that comes there, and it's not fair to guys to already be up and then go back, unless it's one of those things where they weren't doing anything on the main roster, and it's like, hey, go back there, and we're going to retool you a little bit and remake you. Like I said, there's a money issue and everything that goes there as well. So, you know, if guys are making good money on the main roster, I don't want to see them making less because they have to go back to NXT, you know, but it could be beneficial for guys from a character standpoint and being able to be in a higher profile spot. You know, NXT obviously is not WWE, but it's not like low end of the totem pole either. I mean, there is coverage there, you know, and you're getting some good talent and some good play there. So, Let's get into Raw and SmackDown here real quick. Biggest thing that happened on either show, I think, is that Mickie James debuted on SmackDown. She interfered in the cage match, costing Becky Lynch that match, and Alexa Bliss retains the women's championship. So we've got Mickie James back. She was La Luchadora, and she was unmasked. And,
were we just talking about this recently? Didn't one of us predict it was Mickie James?
Probably.
I can't remember if I threw that out there or if we talked about it in private. I know at some point there was the idea because it clashed with what she had been doing on NXT so drastically that it seemed almost comical.
So now they're going to set up Mickie James versus Becky Lynch, which will happen, you know, maybe the February pay-per-view that they're doing. So we'll see exactly what happens there. I don't know where it fits in for Mickey for Mania, but she is a heel. She's on the main roster. I'm sure they have to tell the story of why she went after Becky Lynch, but they will do that. So we get Mickey back. They also did the, hey, let's make sure Dolph Ziggler is a heel. And they had him kick Jerry Lawler in the chest. And we all know about Jerry's medical history and the wasn't a heart attack, even though they keep calling it a heart attack, the cardiac arrest that he had a few years ago. So they did that with Lawler. Some people were really offended by that. I didn't have a problem with it. I did not have a problem with it whatsoever. I thought it was pretty safe with the kick he did and everything.
The only, what did they have a problem with? The problem with the mentioning it, or that Dolph Ziggler got physical with him?
Oh, we're mentioning, you know, Jerry had this medical problem. I mean, Jerry's so old school, you know he was all on board for that, man.
Yeah. I mean, if he didn't want to do it, he didn't have to come back and do it. There was nothing. Right. I like that segment a lot. I thought it was a good segment.
The crowd really didn't get into it. I thought it was a good segment. Here's the biggest issue I have with it, though, okay? So at the end of it, Lawler was screaming, get back in here, you coward, whatever. They can't set up a Lawler-Ziggler match because Jerry just can't have another match.
That's not what they're doing, though. They're not setting up a Lawler-Ziggler match. They're setting up a JBL versus Dolph Ziggler match.
Oh, God, I hope not.
That's why JBL tripped over a wire and then ran into the ring so dramatically.
Did he trip over a wire?
He did. So that was the whole thing. They came back for commercial break, and David Otunga, after this very serious segment, David Otunga was making fun of JBL for tripping over a wire. And That's awkward ass.
I forgot about that. Well, yeah. Otunga has to get in his jabs where he can, I guess.
But I think that's what I believe. They're setting up a JBL versus Dolph Ziggler match.
Okay.
Maybe that might be fun. You know, you got to have, what does Dolph Ziggler do right now? Now that he's a heel, I guess JBL's a good guy. You know, who knows?
Well, he is when it comes to Lawler.
Yeah.
You know, that's his guy. So, you know, and they're still setting up the Randy Orton against Bray Wyatt split. You know, that's going to happen at Mania. I think we're going to get Randy against Bray. Randy's going to be a babyface again.
And good on them for setting this up over the long term. I wasn't sold on it at first. I didn't think it made much sense, but I've enjoyed seeing this feud play out over the months, and I'm glad we're going to go back to it.
Sure. Raw was better this week, I think. That it has been. It felt like it had a little bit more of a purpose. The six-man that they did at the end of the show with Strowman and Kevin Owens and Jericho against Reigns and Rollins and Sami Zayn, it felt a little bit more fresh. Same kind of bodies that they've had, you know, in recent matches, but it's the first time they've done the six-man. And then they did the, you know, Owens powerbomb Reigns through the announcer's table to end the show, which I thought was good. I got to say this, though, man. 205 Live in the Cruiserweight division, it is DOA already, man.
Oh, it was just...
The Daivari Jack Gallagher match that they did was a good match. Crowd couldn't have cared less. Yeah. They just haven't done enough to explain why people should care about the people in that division. And I am still waiting for that one match where they just tell the guys, go out there for 15 to 20 minutes and just do everything in your arsenal and blow everybody away. They just to separate the cruiserweight division. I mean, part of the problem, I think, with the cruiserweight division is there's plenty of heavyweights that do the dives that we always associate cruiserweights with. So it's not special when they do the dives.
It doesn't have an identity. There's nothing about the cruiserweights. It's like, what makes us different than the rest of Raw and SmackDown's output? And why should I tune into a special show? And why are these ropes purple? And why is this mat dark? Yeah.
Dude, what? So by the way, if you ever go to a live show, okay, so you go to Raw and they do the a cruiserweight match. The amount of work that goes into that, they're not putting up new ropes. They are taking these rolls of tape that are purple, and they're covering the ropes with this purple tape. Oh, yeah. It's like this big production. They go out there and everybody's got their big roll of purple tape and they're putting it over. Then when the second the match gets done, they all come out and they rip the tape off. And then sometimes there's two cruiserweight matches on a show and they're not back to back. So they do the whole thing over again. Oh, let me tell you, whoever is a manufacturer of purple tape, you are making a killing right now, okay? Just off of WWE.
That's awesome.
WWE still doesn't know what to do with the New Day. Mm-hmm. They're doing these segments of Titus O'Neil, which are death. By the way, Titus wants a spot in the Royal Rumble, so he wants one of them from the New Day. So for whatever reason, Big E says, sure, I'll give you a match. I mean, the whole premise was so they can get Titus to stop texting him, but it's like, give me a break. Bailey and Charlotte, that segment could have been better, but I thought it was too long. It was just way too long between the two of them.
And my question is, are we setting this up for Royal Rumble? Is she like, this feels like a Mania feud for Bailey to come out on top and have that moment. Is it going to happen at Rumble? What are we doing?
They're doing the match at the Rumble. Charlotte's going to win, but you probably will cheat or do something, or Bailey will get one more shot and she'll win it at Mania. Mm-hmm. If I had to guess. And then let's see, they did Sheamus and Cesaro against Anderson and Gallows, and they did a dusty finish. So it looked like Anderson and Gallows won the titles, but Sheamus had kicked the referee earlier in the match, and that referee finally came to. Another referee had given the match to Anderson and Gallows. They scored a pin, but the first referee, when it revived, said, no. These guys were disqualified.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, they did it backwards. You don't DQ the babyface team in the dusty finish.
Right. Right.
It's like, what the hell was that?
Yeah, that's so weird.
There were still some weird things that happened on that show. But it was better, I think. For some reason, I just felt like overall it was better. Not great.
It's because it had Brock Lesnar on it. Just a minute, Brian. It's because Brock Lesnar was there and you were excited to see him.
Well, the beginning of the show where they did this whole, you know, guys were fighting each other left and right, you know, and Brock was out there and started destroying guys. That was fun.
Yeah.
I was surprised they had Brock get Superman punched by Roman and he went down, but then he came back and he gave Roman an F5 and he was layering guys out. So that's always fun to see.
Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah. Do you have any kind of a better inkling? And next week, obviously, we'll give our predictions, but do you have a better inkling right now than before on who will win the Rumble?
Oh, man. You know, it's so wide open this year. I like that about it. In years past, it's going to be Batista. It's going to be Roman Reigns. This year feels so wide open. It feels kind of special. I could see a scenario where Lesnar, I don't know. So many different possibilities. I've doubled down so much on Roman Reigns winning the title beforehand. I feel like he's going to hold on to it, and whoever is going to fight him is going to challenge him at Mania by winning the Rumble. So, but then it could also be John Cena. John Cena's going to win it. You heard it here first.
John Cena. I can see that. Maybe I could see a scenario where AJ beats Cena at the Rumble. And AJ says, I'm done with Cena. And Cena goes, I won the Rumble. Like, he gets into the Rumble match. So say he loses the championship match, but he gets himself on the Rumble. He wins it. And then he says, I'm getting one more shot. And AJ's all pissed off and saying, I beat you over and over and over again. And Cena goes, one last chance for me. I get the opportunity because I won the Rumble. And I'm going to, you know, face you for the title of WrestleMania one last time.
Yeah.
Yeah. You could do that story.
Yeah.
You could do that. So, yeah, I guess the guys that you feel the best about, and we don't even know if Cena's going to be in the match. If Cena's in there, you obviously have to give him a chance. I think Taker and Strowman, I guess, would be the favorites right now. I mean, obviously Brock and Goldberg are huge players, and we expect them to face off in the main event of Mania, but they don't need a title. I don't think it makes any sense for either of them to win it. I wonder if it opens it up for a secondary person. Because, I mean, you mentioned Jericho before. Maybe. I mean, because he's in the match, obviously. Yeah. I don't know. It is intriguing because we feel like we know there's a couple of favorites, but I could see them doing something outside the box for this one.
Yeah, I could too. And that's what I think is exciting because we both have predictions. We're both throwing ideas out there. I still say that potentially John Cena versus Taker could be for the championship. I know it doesn't need it. And I also still think that could happen with Brock Lesnar versus Goldberg. Neither one of them needs it, but it would be a nice little element of cherry on top for those two matches.
Remember, 2 weeks after Rumble, they're doing, I believe it's Fastlane in Phoenix. That's a SmackDown paper, and they're doing the Elimination Chamber.
Okay, yeah.
So there's some stuff that they could play off that as well. I mean, a title could change hands there. So that will be fascinating. I mean, they've named four of the six people that will be in it, too. But this is a situation where if you do get a debut at the Rumble, aka Samoa Joe, if he was to end up on SmackDown, you could see a scenario where he gets added to that match.
Yeah.
He could have a pretty big, he could be involved in Mania in a pretty big way.
Yeah.
You know what's funny too, is that big of a pop as AJ Styles got last year at the Rumble. Okay. And obviously he was a big part of the shows from that point on. He was not in one of the main events of WrestleMania. He faced Chris Jericho. Huh. And he lost. Remember, he lost that match too.
Right. Yeah.
So he wasn't, it was the next night afterwards where he won a fatal four way to become the number one contender, where he really got involved in the main event picture. So say a Samoa Joe does debut at the Rumble and gets a big response. He'll be at Mania, but doesn't mean he's going to be in one of the main events of WrestleMania necessarily. Doesn't mean he's not going to be a part of it, but
that's true.
There's a lot of things going on. There's a lot of juggling balls, I think. And I would have to think by now they pretty much have an idea of what they're doing with Mania. I hope it stays that way where it kind of doesn't get let out of the bag. But right. We shall see where they go with it. There's a lot of things that could happen, and there's a lot of fun things I think it could happen, which is something that I appreciate, and I think everybody else should too, that we don't exactly know where they're going. We think we do with some cases, but like as much as they've been pushing Braun Strowman, I could see him in a match for a championship. I could see him in the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal.
Yeah. Well, I still think he's going to be in a matchup. They're building him up so much. You're right, though. It could be either way.
I still think with him, they keep him strong. They have him win the Battle Royal. And then after Mania is when you really do more with him.
Okay.
And same thing with like Finn Balor. Finn Balor could be at WrestleMania. I still think that for Finn, because we're so far in the Mania season, and yet, yes, I know they could debut some people from NXT and immediately throw them in the picture for Mania. With Finn, I think they're going to wait till Raw after Mania to bring him back.
Yeah.
But who knows? Maybe he will be back come mid-March, end of March, and he will play a factor in the WrestleMania. And there's a couple stories that could go there. Whenever he does return, they could do something with him and Seth Rollins, even though Seth is a babyface, but Seth is the one that injured him. I would go with the story of I was the champion. I only lost it because I got injured, and Kevin Owens is not the real champ, or I've come back to reclaim the championship I never lost.
Yeah.
I think that's the better story. And then you have Finn against Kevin.
Yeah. Yeah. It does feel like we're going back to that a little bit too soon. But I still, man, Finn versus Seth Rollins is just dream match salivating material. I'm so excited about whenever that happens. It's going to, it's happened, but when it happens again and he doesn't get injured in the middle of the match, I'm just salivating to see that rematch, you know?
By the way, I don't want to spoil this for everybody, but Brooke Tessmacher is back with Impact Wrestling.
Miss Tessmacher, didn't she play, let's see here, is she the one who played Sarah Palin at one point?
Probably.
I think she's the one who played Sarah Palin at one point. There you go.
I just know that there's an infamous video that is out of her where she was talking about some of these bikini contests that she did and whatnot. And she says her best asset is her ass.
Oh, that's clever. Well, I see what she did there.
Yes.
That's funny. And
while they're showing off shots of her butt. Okay. Uh-huh. Just like, all right. She's a big AC/DC fan. You know that?
No, I did not know that. Her and Vince McMahon have a lot in common.
And me.
And you. You guys would make a great, all of you together, make a great couple.
Sure, why not? Let's do it. Oh, let's end on this. Would you like to talk about Randy Orton?
Oh, Randy Orton. Yeah, he's...
Randall K. Orton.
Yep, Keith. Randall Keith Orton.
I don't know what his middle name is. Keith. I'm just guessing the K.
It's Keith. His name is just K. It's just
well, it's whatever he wants it to be.
People call it K on the side. Hey, K, come over here.
There was some hubbub on the interwebs this week because I guess a fan... There's two different reports that a fan got told off by Randy in the gym. And some other people said, no, it wasn't as bad as that. Well, Randy Orton doesn't give a blip about anybody, okay? He's honest. And you got to love him for that, right? Mm-hmm. Randy... Here's that there's a discussion about this on the internet, and some people are like, that jerk Randy Orton, or some people are going, no, it wasn't that bad. So Randy goes on Twitter and says, apparently I hurt a fan's feelings when I told him to F off at the gym yesterday. That's news? been happening for 15 years. Hashtag get a life. And then he followed up by saying, I paid to train. In between every set, I can't take pics. He needs to suck it the F up and go to the gym to train, not be a fanboy. That is fantastic.
Oh my gosh. He's so great. He's just such a... Randy Orton is so Randy Orton, you know?
Somebody sent a GIF of him doing double birds from in the ring. And Randy's response to that was, my sentiments exactly. Not to mention, he had nothing to say then. Had to wait to use Twitter like a bitch.
Yes.
That is pure Randy Orton. And you know what? He's right. Okay? When you are at the gym and you see a wrestler, that's not their fun time. Well, it might be fun for them, but guess what? They are on the clock. Mm-hmm. That is work, okay? So if you want to bother somebody at the gym, wait till they're done, see them outside the building, and then respectfully ask.
You're encouraging people to stalk wrestlers right now, Brian. I just want you to know
I'm just saying, if you run into a wrestler...
Follow them to their house, knock on their front door, open the window.
Wait for them outside and say, may I please get a picture or autograph? Be respectful, but don't bother them while they're working out. Just like if they're in a restaurant and the food's right in front of them and they're eating, go, can I get a picture? No, wait till they're done eating, okay?
Can you just sneak up behind them and extend your selfie stick when they're not looking and put it out?
Do that with Brock Lesnar. You'll find out very, very quickly why you should never do that to anybody, much less Brock Lesnar.
After the infamous SummerSlam Brock Lesnar that we got to experience, I think I'm good.
Yeah, I've heard some stories about Brock and people trying to take pictures of him in a restaurant, and it's not too pleasant. Not pleasant at all. So, on that note,
it's the opposite of me. I'm so pleasant. You should follow me on at the Real Wiseman on Twitter because I have lots of pleasant things to tweet.
There it is, at the Real Wiseman. You can follow Mikey. You can follow me. I'm at Brian Fritz. Also, please subscribe to the podcast. Go to iTunes. If you haven't done it yet, go to iTunes right now. Rate and review the podcast. The more stars, the better. We love stars. Mm. So please give us some stars. Rate the show. If you want to review it, please do that as well. And if you could, please support us on Patreon. Go to patreon.com/betweentheropes. Please support us there, where it's $1 a month, $5 a month or more. Whatever you feel comfortable with would be fantastic and would help us out tremendously. So appreciate everybody for listening to the podcast. You can also find us not only on iTunes, but also on Stitcher. We're on SoundCloud and we are on Google Play and on the TuneIn app as well. If you haven't checked out the interview I did with Rocky Romero, please check that out. And coming up here within the next week, be on the lookout for some other interviews with wrestlers. I don't want to jinx anything, so I won't say it, but potentially some pretty big names, especially one that's a really big name. That be on the lookout for that.
And talking about me, aren't you? You're talking about me.
Well, you're a big name every week. I mean, that's just that's just a weekly thing. Uh-huh. You and I will be back. Oh, by the way, scheduling note, next week we will once again be back on Thursday night just because of our schedules. So next Thursday we will have the weekly Between the Ropes podcast with myself and Michael talking about everything in the week in wrestling. And we will be... And next week, we'll be previewing the Royal Rumble and giving our predictions and see how that plays into WrestleMania. So thanks again, everybody, for listening. And we will talk to you next time right here, Between the Ropes.